Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is another Q&A on the COVID-19 situation out in the industry. I'm here today with Christine Tenley, and she's going to talk a little bit about the executive order, the safety at plants, and how plants should what plants should focus on most intently in terms of keeping their employees safe and things like that. So, Christine, you know, obviously with the executive order coming down, plants now have, you know, two responsibilities almost. You know, they're responsible for feeding the world, right? This is very, very crucial to the food supply that they're open and operating, but they're also obviously responsible to their own employees and keeping them safe. So in your opinion, and based on what you've seen, where should these plants be focusing most intently in order to keep their employees safe, knowing that they have to be open and operating under this executive order?
Yes, that's a critical, critical question, Andy. And I have narrowed it down essentially to four broad categories that run concurrently with the CDC OSHA guidance, and it's distance, duration, type of contact, and then lastly, the social implications of the employees and the employers in the processing plants. So the distance refers to, is a person working in the office setting of the plant, or are they on the line? Or are they working in hazmat cleaning of the plant? All these different groups of employees are going to need particular PPE, particular sanitation. Those types of areas need to be fully considered. I mean, every group of employees is going to be treated differently. That leads us into duration, and that most duration, long-term duration contact for COVID, I mean, when you have line workers working together, you know, 8-10 hour shifts side by side, the guidelines that OSHA and CDC put out have made great suggestions for plants as to how to reconfigure their lines, because the problem that the employers are facing is that when you start to run a process, when you start to run a line, it requires significant manpower. And then you also have to look at the type of contact people are having with each other. The big thing is you have eyes on these employees on the lines for the most part at all times. There's supervisors and you have production managers. But the risky areas are the break rooms, the communal areas, and the high touch surfaces. And so those are areas where plants have begun to be very creative and put tents outside to break up the break times and things of that nature. And the last area that is an important consideration is generally meat processing and poultry processing plants tend to be in rural areas. And a lot of times, at least in my 20 years of defending poultry plants, there are immigrant communities such as Burmese, and all of those individuals work and live at the plant. And then there are families where the majority of the family will live and work at the plant, or go back and forth. And there is the potential for reinfection or just passing this virus around. And last is transportation issues with employees at the plant. A lot of times you will see them carpooling, riding with others. So it is important for the processing plants to really communicate with the employees, personally as to safety. So taking it beyond plant safety, you know, talking to the employees, having a point person, having a hotline, having those resources, those health resources for them are going to go a long way versus just keeping everything within the plant and only worrying about the employees in the plant.
So that's interesting, because you know, what I was going to ask next was how well prepared was, did you think the industry was for preventing an infection, a virus like this from spreading? And really, on the plant floor, they're probably pretty well prepared, but now it sounds like they've got to go beyond, and maybe, you know, they weren't as prepared for worrying about things like break rooms and carpools, you know, outside of work situations. Do you think they're learning to kind of, you know, nobody wants their work butting in on their personal lives either, or their social lives, but do you think they're learning and getting better at this?
Yes, most definitely. I would say my corporate clients have done much worse dealing with this than a processing plant, which already has medical personnel on site. They're used to employees being at risk for safety. There's, you know, heavy machinery. They deal with fatalities, unfortunately, fatalities and serious injury significantly. So they are more prepared, but I believe they have been having to update and continue to change how they operate as far as the amount of PPE they need, their ability to get it, our supply chain logistics, the backlog of even getting the hand sanitizer. I mean, you, I'm sure, as a personal consumer, have seen the trickle-down impact of everything. So when you have a plant that has 1,500 employees coming in and you have that additional burden of, you know, getting the animals through the processing and out the back door to Publix and Kroger, it's a very heavy burden they're facing. And they are doing the best they can and being very imaginative in coming up with how best to balance the risk and the food production versus we have to keep everybody safe. So it has been a very stressful time for a lot of my clients in particular.
What would you say, just off the top of your head, just, you know, kind of put you a little bit on the spot here, what's the most interesting, yeah, these are always fun, right?
Thanks, Andy.
What's the most interesting or innovative thing you've seen succeed so far in terms of maybe some of your clients? And you don't have to name them, but, sure, you know, what solutions-wise, what has been, like, the most interesting thing you've seen?
Sure. One of the most, I thought, innovative ideas was in a particular plant where they were limiting the shifts, and they were essentially cutting the shifts in half, 50%. And then instead of deducting or not paying the workers for that time, they were then offering a $5 monetary premium per hour to those employees, as well as incentive pay to retain their workforce, so that, you know, they are, once we do go back to full production and reopen, the employees haven't gone and looked for another job, because I'm sure you've been editing and they've been in this publication, in charge of this publication since 2005. So you know that retaining employees in meat and poultry processing is an unbelievably high burden. So the areas that have been very innovative have been the monetary incentives to keep employees safe. In particular, if you are familiar with the Smithfield case, the plant, and then they were actually sued by a nonprofit. That case was dismissed this week because the judge found that Smithfield had gone above and beyond anything in the OSHA guidance. So that is probably a topic for another day. But what Smithfield did in response to that lawsuit, they really, really stepped up to the plate, and we're going to see more creative and innovative solutions. The last thing I will say is, from a psychological perspective for the employees at the plant, what Tyson has done by partnering with Axiom Medical to come in and really amp up their medical presence is significant. I mean, normally a plant, you'll have a safety director, you'll have a couple nurses. But in this type of situation, it is critical that these companies invest in partnering with third-party occupational safety professionals. I would say that. I would say the pay incentives and then the additional psychological security of having a more beefed up medical professionals on site.
Great. Thank you, Christine, and thanks for answering that.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll be talking under better circumstances the next time we speak.
Yes, I hope so.
Thanks so much. Thank you.